Our sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 51. We've come to the point of Christ's betrayal, when Christ was actually betrayed. We see his agony as he knows what is coming, what is right before him. I remind you that we have been called as individuals to lay our lives down. I remind you that Christ's footsteps have been called a way, the way in which we are to walk. So hear about where Christ walked, how he walked, and we're going to look together at how he responded so that we will know how to respond in days of danger and temptation and even betrayal. Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 39. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Stop, no more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we see Christ, as we see your Son, who came as our atoning sacrifice, but also came as our example. Father, help us to come alongside Christ now, to understand the circumstances of our lives in the light of your gospel, in the light of Christ, and help us to see the best ways to adjust our steps and our hearts and our minds to love you truly and to truly love our neighbors, that you will be most glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who don't you like? It's very likely it's the person who has supplied the most tension in your life. Perhaps it's someone that you have simply been able to put into a category of dysfunctional. And as you consider them a dysfunctional individual, or if you're thinking of groups of individuals, perhaps, maybe you put them in a group of people who are just this, and you can fill in the blank. You could put them in just this as a race. You could put them in the category of just this as a denomination. You can put them in a category of just this as a level of intelligence. And you can write them off. We look at our lives and we look at the ways that Christ has dealt with us. He has not despised us when we were in the place of just rebels. We're just sinners. We're just off in whatever theological realm you and I fall short in. He responded with an amazing graciousness he responded with amazing love. We look even here where we could say the rubber meets the road, where the tension is not just intellectual or theological. The tension has become physical at this point, as they have come to arrest Jesus for the purpose of putting him to death. And we see that his great response was to stand and to love and even to heal those who were coming to kill him. As we look at Christ at this point, as our atoning sacrifice, yes, but here specifically we're going to be looking at him as our example, specifically as your example. For you to consider, who is the one who hurts me? And I call them just this, just that, just stupid, just a fool, just weak. Whatever you consider them, to see that you and I have been just that, and all of those things and more to Christ. And yet, he healed you. He has loved you. He has blessed you. He has opened up his arms and embraced you and brought you into his family and has called you blameless. So the call for you this morning is, in the face of your temptations to hate and isolate, to love with a biblical love. Our first step is, ask the Lord to keep you from temptation. Verses 40 through 42. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away and knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." This is the example Christ has given us in Matthew 6:13, when the disciples had asked him, "Show us how to pray. Teach us to pray." He laid that out and he said, "Father, lead us not into temptation. Please do not put me in this situation." Jesus here was at the place maybe of his greatest temptation. A friend of mine who had the opportunity to visit Jerusalem, and he was in the Mount of Olives, he described Jesus could have just went up the hill and disappeared into the wilderness and not been arrested. We see the temptation that Jesus was facing at this point, where there's that battle that's taking place within him. This is why he was sweating great droplets of blood. He had a will to leave. He had a desire to run. But what kept him there was his great love for the Father and his great love for you. We see this place and we understand that we are to be engaging in a battle. Prayer is actually a part of the spiritual warfare of your life. It is a part, if you read through the spiritual armor, when you get to the end, and it says, "And pray." The battle is, part of the battle is being aware that there is a battle, that you are in a situation dealing with temptation, and knowing that we take a posture that we're ready to deal with it if it's there, and we keep asking the Lord, stating the eternal reality that there is a tempter who is a part of our lives to manipulate us and to push us off bounds, or to wrap these cords around us once again to draw us down to hell if he could. Matthew 6:13 again, "Lead us not into temptation." We see what Jesus had been facing in Matthew 4 when he went into the wilderness and Satan was there and he was offering them the opportunity, saying, "You don't have to lay down your life for all authority on heaven and earth to be given to you. You don't have to go do that dying thing. Take a knee. Take a knee and I'll give you my kingdoms." The temptation was present and there for Christ. The temptation came also when Peter came to him when Jesus described that he was going to die, and Peter says, "No, may it never be." The temptation came again and again and again for Christ to not be shredded, to not be broken. And the temptation will come for you again and again and again to accept the simple pleasures of the flesh rather than to live for Christ and to live to love our neighbor. So our next step now, number two, is receive heaven's help. It's an exciting idea. Angels are exciting to me, these characters that can show up and destroy thousands at a time. But here we see heaven's help for Christ. Now an angel, you can take that and understand that that's a messenger. An angel is a messenger. And now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. The angel, this messenger, would have come. He would have spoken eternal truths to Christ. Perhaps, now this is only in the realm of speculation, but reminding him of the promise. The promise that the Son of David would indeed live forever. That he would not be destroyed. That the Holy One would not undergo decay. And that all authority on heaven and earth would indeed be given to him. Assuring him of the Father's love, the rescue, and the resurrection. I stand before you as a messenger. Reminding you of the great promises to Christ that are the same great promises to you. That a way of escape is always given for you from sin. For those of you who have lived in the world any amount of time, you know what I'm talking about. You have felt these moments. You have received these amazing moments where the temptation is coming. And you found that if you wait just another moment, the answer is given to you. The way of escape is made clear, and we run like a rabbit away from the snare. And we are saved and we are rescued. Now Jesus needed that angel. Who else would be brought to Christ? You and I have someone greater than that angel. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. The rescue is close. In each of your temptations, the rescue is close. And you receive just enough for each moment to persevere in the midst of the temptation. He gives you exactly what you need. Receive it. Receive heaven's help. Now, as we are in this position and as we are waiting, it will hurt. It's going to be hard. And it's not just this physical hurt that we endure. It's the pain sometimes of isolation, the pain of rejection, the pain of not fitting in with the people around us. It's the pain sometimes of not being loved or not feeling loved. And we imagine we have to go somewhere else in order to be filled or satisfied. So the third step is bear the pain. Verse 44. And being in agony. Agony is real. And I wonder how often in your life, when someone asks you how you are, if you said, "I'm good." If a truer answer might be, "I am in agony." As we each will face sorrow and loss and disappointment and rejection. and being in agony, he was praying very fervently. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. The agony that you are facing, it's very likely, it's not just the pressure from outside. It's not just what has been or is being withheld from you. It is much more likely that the agony that you are facing is the conflict of your two natures within you. That you are not receiving what you want and what you desire, and you're longing to run to something else. Galatians 5:17. For the desire of the flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. Agony. In the face of temptation, here Jesus is in agony, and they haven't hit him over the head with a stick yet. They haven't put a crown of thorns on him yet. They haven't ripped his back open yet with lashings. They haven't nailed him to the cross yet. They haven't been standing around and openly mocking him and punching him in the face. They haven't ripped his beard out yet. And he's in agony as the battle is taking place within him. You and I will face agony. And yet, Hebrews 12:4 makes this statement. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. The battle that was taking place in Christ, I say, was that battle of him resisting against sin at that point to run away. To run from the tension, to run from the torture, to run from this atoning death. And he prayed in the midst of this pain. And he stood firm and he said, Father, your will be done, not mine, as he bore up there. I offer you the comfort of Psalm 73:26. Though my heart and my flesh may fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Whatever it is that you are denying your flesh or denying yourself in the midst of these temptations, Christ offers you so much more. The beauty, and we'll revisit this as we move along, the beauty of the Christian life is we're standing on the edge of eternity. We are right there, and Christ is right there too. When I was a younger man, one of the joys at Uncle Charles's lake, I would try to swim as far as I could underwater, and I got to where I could go ridiculously far. And one of the ways that I realized that I could do better, I used to be I would dive down deep and I would swim down in the dark green as I went along. But then down there I would get scared and I would feel like I had to hurry up and get up to the top. The way I could go the furthest was if I just skimmed just below the surface, and I could always see the light as I was moving along. And I knew that in any second, when the burning of my lungs got too serious, I could just lift my head and take a breath. I was right there. Relief was that close. As you and I stand on the edge of eternity, relief really is that close. The answer to the temptation really is that close. And Jesus has actually said, I will always provide you the way out. I will always answer your temptation with an answer. As Psalm 73:26 says, he's the strength of your heart. And as we sing in Psalm 73:26, and you are my portion, my satisfaction forever. We have that hope. Our next step, number 4, is be strong even when your friends are weak. This is why we are church. Because your strengths are for making up for your friend's weaknesses. So we don't go along with the crowd, even when it's the church, when they're going astray. Even when it's our brothers and our sisters who are being weak and going astray. Verses 45 and 46, when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." This is a place for us to answer one another. Get up and pray. Why are you in sorrow? Why are you giving way to the anguish of your soul? Why are you giving away to sin and temptation? Get up and pray. Remember this when we are in our circles and when we are with one another and we see our friends sinning and falling short of the glory of God. And again, we're not surprised when that happens. We understand that there's this expectation that we will have lives and be living lives in which we are confessing sin, seeking forgiveness, and granting forgiveness. This secular relationship of one another's loving one another and praying for one another and forgiving one another from our heart. We will be in that place. Psalm 27:10 gives us that saddest example. "For my father and mother may forsake me or have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up." That he is our strength and that he is our portion. And that is our place even if our friends are weak and fall short. Our fifth step, and this is when it's harder. Be strong when your friends betray you. Verses 47 through 48. While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" You'll be betrayed by friends. It might be on purpose, it might not.